99 bottles
of beer on the wall.
99 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around.
98 bottles of beer on the wall. We already started drinking at the doll booth here at CMPX. Now, is it CMPX or is it Simpex? What is it, Thomas? Is like, how do you call it?
We call it Simpex. Canadian Mechanical and Plumbing Exposition.
Yeah, I had to make a notation yesterday when I was doing shows at the Social Hub there that today's show we're going to talk about the P in CMPX because I feel there's a lot of mechanical going on right. This show, which is great. Listen, I'm not dismissing mechanical guys, but I mean, we can't forget the plumbing guys.
For like, sure.
Got to put them all together. But it was an interesting first day. This is the first day that you're coming here,
first
right?
Day, yeah.
You've been to the show several times, right?
No, this is my first
time. This is the first time?
Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah.
Man, I've been to this show more times than an actual proper HVAC plumbing person. Like, what's going on here? Why am I spending so much time? Well, Johnny, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're recording at the doll booth here, which is great. Everyone can find us at booth number 903, doll booth. We're going to have lots of fun. I think they're giving away a car today. No? No car giveaway today.
No, that's Mikey DiMartino is giving away a Lamborghini.
Mikey DiMartino. That's right. He's giving away a car. Look him up. DM him. Mention my name. I'm going to get in trouble now. But Brento Plumbing. Yes, Brento sir. Mechanical Plumbing.
Plumbing and Mechanical.
Plumbing and Mechanical. Yeah. Why is the plumbing before the mechanical?
Why?
Yeah.
Just my thought at the time.
How long have you been doing the trade?
10 years now.
10 years, eh? You're a young guy. How young are you?
29.
Baby, man. Like, it's on today's nursery episode. Like, this is, wow, you guys are kids, man. Yeah. I'm 52. Wow. Why? Why did you choose it?
I grew up in a family of blue-collar workers. Some
in the trade, in the mechanical?
Yeah.
Okay.
Electrical.
Okay.
Plumbers. And I always wanted to do, you know, a trade. I was always kind of handy as a kid. And then, I had entrepreneurs in my family. So I was, that was always my goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the first lesson that you learned about the trade? What was the first, I guess, just like, you know what? I like that. I want to get into this industry.
First lesson? I've always kind of been interested. I was that kid like trying to build stuff at the house, like with a hammer and stuff like that. Like nothing plumbing related. I found out I wanted to do plumbing. I was in high school and they did, you know, you do the tour of the colleges.
Yeah.
And they let you try to solder. And then the solder joint I did was like mint. Like it was like the most perfect joint ever. But I was there because I wanted to be electrical.
Okay.
And.
But you were just fascinated by the solder joint.
Yeah, I did a good job. He's like, oh, maybe you'll be a plumber one day. And then that's kind of what happened. Yeah.
Were you just in awe that you just watched this?
I was like, I felt so cool. Like just, everyone else was like right burning around. It. Yeah, exactly.
So everyone else's samples were just going black and that was it?
Yeah, teaching like this, nudging me, like, good job. I'm like, sweet. Maybe this is for me.
Was it luck at that very first time?
For sure.
Complete luck.
Oh, yeah, like you just later on.
Everything lined up
when
perfectly.
The apprenticeship started a couple of years later.
Then it became black.
Yeah, exactly.
Black and red and then too hot and then bring the pliers and all this other stuff.
100%.
But that was like what, in your teenage years?
Yeah, I was 17 at the time, or 16 maybe.
Were you like nervous that you're like blowtorch and then materials flux?
Not real. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was always into like science and like, you know, that kind of stuff. So I was always like experimenting and whatever. So, yeah.
So did it feel like when you started doing the trade, I guess specifically with mechanical or plumbing, even I guess electrical as well too, that all those little science blurbs that were being expressed during the classes were kind of coming back to you?
You
were picking it up. Like you're trying to figure out metals. You're trying to figure out heat.
Exactly.
You're trying to figure out what works best and all this other stuff.
It takes time, though, to like, get the grasp of it. Someone can tell you a bunch of things, you know, but actually school is what made it all click for me because you don't know why you're doing certain things, right? And then you go to school and then it's more, you know, when you're on the job, you're working, production more or less, right? Yeah. But when you have your time to think about it and you know
so you were hooked as soon as that hooked. Happened you were hooked at that point.
I loved it.
And then what did you do? I guess, well, hang on a sec, share your information too, right? So on IG,
it's Brento Plumbing Inc. on Instagram,
okay,
and brentoplumbing.ca is my website,
and then they reach you an email if they want to get a hold of you.
john@brentoplumbing.co.
okay. And then obviously you know all about doll, so doll valve is it dollvalve.com? dollvalve.com. But also you could follow them on IG under doll. It's just at doll valve. At doll valve, but then there's also at doll valve man.
That's right.
The man,
the myth, the legend.
All right. So that was the beginning part of it. And then you got hooked at that point. Did you think to yourself, how am I going to get into this industry?
It happened
laid?
By accident because I originally wanted to be an electrician. Then the company shut down. So I was trying to find a job.
Why did you think that you were going to go electrical because you had an opportunity?
Well, I had family that were electricians. They are electrical contractors.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so I did my co-op in school with electrical.
Okay.
And then, anyways, I worked for 1 year as an apprentice doing electrical. The company shut down, couldn't find a job, couldn't find a company to take me on. So I just worked a couple random jobs, and I got in with a general contractor who were plumbers by trade.
Okay.
And we kind of did like everything. Like they used to buy houses, flip them, like build second stories. Yeah. So we used to do a lot of commercial. And then...
You got a really like wide range of education at that point. Because you're going all over the place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So you're doing all the commercial stuff. You're doing the residential stuff.
Yeah,
you're doing
industrial
stuff. Industrial even too.
Yeah, yeah. Process piping and everything. Yeah.
Got that must have been everything. A weird kind of thing at the beginning where you're just like, what's all this about?
At the time, it was throwing me off because I was worried that I wouldn't be good at one of the things because I was doing everything. So I thought, oh, maybe like by the time I'm licensed, I'm not going to be able to rough in a house because I'm spending so much time doing this commercial and industrial.
It's the other way around.
Exactly. No, I found that out afterwards. So I was so grateful that I got to experience everything after because I was so well-rounded, right? Like I went to school and met so many people that only do one thing, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't have that experience. At all.
Would you recommend going down that same path for any new kid that's starting out? Or I mean, because you get a lot of kids nowadays, and that's why the kids come to these shows, right?
Yeah.
Because they want to see what the right path is. And a lot of them take the, and I'm not like, the schools are great. Like, mm-hmm. And the instructors are great. Everybody's great. I think what's really important is the kids finding a clear path and try to get as few distractions as possible because they could get veered off and maybe be educated by someone that's not really showing them the right way, right?
Right. I mean, I always work for smaller companies and they usually do a lot more stuff versus like I've met tons of guys that like work for a big guy and like once you're good at something, that's what you're doing.
You're stuck for that.
So you don't get to touch other stuff, right? Yeah. So it's hard to, I wouldn't be able to advise how to kind of, you know, get into touching everything or like how to start off that way, but that should be your goal anyway, right?
I've heard so many stories about guys doing high rise and commercials. You're getting on the, you're such a small fish. And I mean, it's like no pun to your name or anything like that, but guys have expressed it like you're the bathtub Johnny.
You know
what I mean? That's all you do Monday to Friday, right. You bathtub 100%. Install and you do that for years. And I'm like, I can't even fathom that. I don't understand how you do that.
You know, before I went on my own, I worked for a commercial contractor and they would hire guys from the hall. I was in the union. And they would be guys that were on high-rise sites for like 5 years, their whole apprenticeship, pushing a broom, and then they're licensed somehow. I don't know how they passed the test. They come to the site, and they can't hang a piece of cast iron.
I'm not knocking it, but it's just like trades are all about trying to absorb as much as possible, right?
Yeah, you got the lazy aspect of it, too. Of course. Some guys just want to get by. Yeah.
They want to punch the clock in. They come in. They're happy to be the bathtub guy.
For sure.
Or the toilet guy or whatever it is. But
that stuff doesn't fly as much in the private sector versus when you're in the union, right? So.
But, I mean, okay, so let's talk about the private sector because you're getting a lot of challenges now. You're getting clients that are asking for... I mean, in my opinion, plumbing is just going really extreme now. And I'm talking about technology-wise and just like it's no more, you know, two bolts and drop in a toilet now.
You're learning constantly.
Yeah.
I get calls all the time for like these, you know, like electronic shower valves and all this like nuanced stuff, right?
Are you completely like nervous? Are you?
No, because that's how I learned in the first
place. The manuals
are
getting thicker though, Johnny. Like I remember manuals being 2 pages.
No, I know.
Right.
But obviously, you got to be careful, you know, like you got to... make sure you're spending your time correctly kind of thing, right? But no, I'm not too nervous. I like it. It's fun to learn new stuff and, you know, you just dive into it. If you don't know necessarily how to do it, you're going to learn along the way and then you'll meet someone that has done it once before
for sure. And then they'll give you their 2 cents and they'll also give you their opinion about if they like it or not. But
100%.
I mean, there's a lot of, I guess, creature comforts, like a lot of, I guess you're probably seeing a lot of clients asking for, obviously heated floors are happening in all tiles now. Heated walls are now becoming a thing in bathrooms. Right. Now you're getting lighting in the shower niches. But then, I mean, I think it's almost becoming standard heated seats on toilets.
Yeah.
You're getting the digital valves on all the showers now and you're getting more people trying to figure out the math. Like it's almost like you guys as plumbers are becoming electricians when they're doing load calculations. You guys are doing volume calculations, trying to figure out how much flow you can get out of this house and how much heads you can put in there because I guess clients just want as many heads as possible in a shower application.
They like the fancy stuff,
But yeah, they also, you know, they want to drive the EV, but they're just sucking all the water out of Lake Ontario, right? Which is great. I love that argument because they're like, oh, we want to, you know, hug the trees.
Right.
But I want about 17,000 gallons of water just shooting at me when I'm showering.
Jets on you at the same time.
I want a bidet. I want a heated seat. I want everything. It's like this. And listen, I'm not knocking it. I love it. Yeah. Like I think that's what, the amount of time you spend in a bathroom, you should be getting all these creature comforts, man. Like,
for sure.
And you should be hiring people that know about them, or at least hungry to know about them.
Right.
So you can learn about it. And I think that's what you want to be around. You want to be around a team that's like,
like-minded people.
This is what's going on in this bathroom. Like, this is what we have to pull off. And it's like, you guys get a spec book. It's like, that's not the way it was back in the day. It was literally a toilet, shower head, hole tester, sink.
Right.
Now it's just like heads of glory, two sinks,
yeah,
and then the toilet that's got all the bells and whistles, right? Yeah. You got any particular brands that you like working with, that you've seen product? Like, it was just funny, and I know I'm going to have Sam, the plumber, on the show later on today, and I stopped by one of his job sites, and he was showing me these toilets, and I'm not going to say the name, but I was like, well, who designed that, man? Like, that's not right.
I've got a one specific, I don't know if I should say it, but...
No, don't say it, but I'm just like...
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely ones that I like, you know, I like Kohler.
Yeah, you can say the ones you like. I don't want to get into the arguments of what you don't like. Yeah.
Like those kind of things. Of course. Yeah, all those are safe, you know, they're good to install. But there's some that are like ridiculous designs and they're impossible to install, like, you know.
They just don't know how to, I guess, was there like a disconnect between the engineer and the design team, like how to put all this
stuff? I don't know, but I also find that they're selling stuff like toilets that are not like North American, like they're from other places with like different size piping,
so
like,
true, you know, the
hoses and everything. And you have to retrofit everything. It's such a pain, right?
And then just because you can ship it and get it here across the world, it doesn't mean that it can be installed correctly. And then you have to find somebody, because we obviously have our system here and then they have their system there.
Yeah.
But now the homeowner is like, well, I found it on Wayfair and I found it somewhere and I'm shipping it in. And it's like,
notorious reputation of those.
Yeah. It's like a headache.
You get a shower valve for like a couple $100 and then, you know, something goes funky with it. When are you ever going to get a part for it?
You can't.
Not accessible. No.
You can't. It's going to be a nightmare. But then the thing is, the nightmare falls on your doorstep.
Yeah.
Now it becomes your responsibility, right?
Right.
Are you focusing more on the custom side of things? Or are you focusing more on the...
I do a little bit of everything. Custom, renovations, new construction, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you like particularly these days? I mean, 10 years in the business, you got a good gauge of what... I mean,
I love commercial. Commercials, I love it, yeah.
Why?
It's just, first of all, it's bigger projects generally. I like working with copper more than anything.
It's always copper.
And now there's press, right? So
is press gotten to the point where it's completely affordable? Like, it makes sense that...
A few years ago, I thought, like, at the point it's at now, it's not that... Because when you factor in the labor aspect to how long, you know, you got a leaky joint and you drain the system, retest it, and I find it like great.
Well, 5 years ago, though, it was a different story, right?
Yes.
5 years ago, you really had to just like take the hit and figure out, okay, is this really worth it at that point?
Right. Yeah. 5 years ago, I mean, when I was at that time, it was just mainly for like emergency service. Like, you got to throw in a shut off valve. The water's not turning off at the main. It's live. And like that kind of thing. And then like after that part, you're like soldering everything again, right?
You think clients on the custom side are ever going to get onto the pro press train?
On which side? Sorry.
On the custom side. Resi.
Yeah, I think they already are.
They already
are. Not for the whole house. You're using it for sure.
You're seeing it for the mechanical systems. Yeah. If you go in the boiler, you're always bringing in PEX lines at that point, but then you just configure to the press at that point.
Yeah.
But I guess are you also, to me, like, listen, I'm not a licensed plumber. You guys are licensed plumbers. When I see a shower valve and I see a shower set up in all PEX, it just looks Mickey Mouse to me. You know what I mean? And when I see it in copper... Or if I see it in press, it looks proper to me. I get it that it's going to get covered. I get that it's going to be hidden from tile and all this other stuff. But I'm a copper guy. I've always been a copper guy.
You're not wrong. Right? Definitely the aesthetics of it, for sure.
It just looks like it's going to last.
Right.
I know that there's no issues with press. Like, press is the issues at the moment.
Right.
When you're doing your test and you set it up, then you'll know exactly what the issue is at that point. But it's just like, will it ever fail down the line? PEX.
I mean, PEX?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never had a call back from anything.
I don't think it ever fails, man. If you're crimping everything properly, it's all done.
Yeah.
Or if you've even using opener or whatever it is, like, it's like, there's no failures.
I've had, fittings that have gone bad in the past, actually, now that I think about it, yeah.
On the PEX side?
Like, they're crimped properly and everything, but for some reason they leaked.
What would the be, like, did you find out on why would it have failed over time? Would it just been the water, the way the water was, like...
I don't know.
Maybe a high concentration of something? No, that wouldn't really affect it.
No, I don't know why. Sometimes there's recalls on some fittings and stuff, right?
I mean, but the same thing happens with copper as well, right? Like,
for sure.
Eventually you might get, you know, the expansion, contraction kind of thing, and it might be too close to a certain nail or something like that, and it might start nicking away at the copper, and then all of a sudden you get a pinhole at that point. So you just never know, and it's just, I always liked, like, you just got to be conscious of it. But I just, when I see copper set up, I know that it's more expensive. More expensive for material, more expensive for the labor, more time. I know it's all these more and more things, right? But it's just, how many years have we been doing copper?
Forever.
Like, we've been doing it for a long, long time since we changed over from regular pipe, right? But, like, press is pretty young, right? Press is...
No, sorry, not press.
PEX. PEX is pretty young.
I mean, I know, like, I've done some repiping on houses, like, you know, the stuff that was recalled back in the day. What was it called? Like, Hi-Tech?
I remember that.
PEX.
I remember that,
similar stuff, right? But that's already, like, early 2000s of roughing in houses. So, I mean, it is new compared to copper. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I never had any, like, real...
Did you... I actually misspoke about the press. So how long's press been around?
Press, I don't even know the answer to that, but I know, I'm pretty sure it was out in the 90s.
Really?
Rigid had it out, yeah.
Probably just for commercial applications, right?
Probably. To save and their at that life. Time, the fittings were probably, like, you know, even more ridiculous. Like,
I can only imagine,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine, yeah. But I know it's like 25 years or something like that, for sure, at least rigid.
It is kind of nice, though, when you crack open a nice pack out and all the press fittings are all there and it's all just all organized and it's just like, it's almost like surgery. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, nice. you see a tray that just taking the time and taking the pride, set it up. It just looks a lot better than just PEX fittings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. It does. Well, the only thing, straight sticks, if I'm using PEX, it's only, I'm never using a roll.
Roll
that, you cannot even try to make it look good, right? Never, you know.
Because the thing is, then you get the guys, I guess, are just way too lazy and just go coil it up and then stub it out for the toilet.
Well, it's
and now you got, like, you know.
Yeah, I see that all the time in residential.
It drives me nuts,
the subdivisions,
man.
The new.
Like, and then you get the effort of some guy putting on the sleeve. The polished chrome plastic sleeve on it,
open.
And I'm like, half it's open because it's bending, and I'm like, you're dealing with two opposing forces here that are just not going to make this work. Right. So it's like, it may
just
look
cut
pretty.
It as low as you can.
Yeah, it's just, and it's that's another gripe of mine is like, I don't like stub outs on toilets coming out from the floor because I don't think there's a single manufacturer that specifies to stub out from the floor. I know Kohler and I'm pretty sure Toto, they give you the crosshairs.
Yeah.
They totally give you the crosshairs. It's always a certain distance from the center line of the toilet.
Exactly.
And then it comes over to the left or right. Most of the time it's left, right?
Left,
yeah. But now you're dealing with toilets that you have to talk to the electrician. You got to bring a GFI to it and plug it in. And
oh, yeah.
It's like, it's just crazy, man. It's getting really, really crazy. And it's just, what are you learning more and more things from homeowners? Are they actually bringing some interesting things, like interesting products to you outside of the ones that are challenging about, you know, getting a product here from Wayfair and all of a sudden it's crappy?
I mean, well, yeah, because at the end of the day, they're the one choosing the fixtures that they want to be put in, right? So I'm getting introduced to it by them and then I'm doing my own due diligence on, you know, installation at rough and everything. So,
but wouldn't it be, I mean, now I'm going to point at the homeowners. Wouldn't it make much sense? Like, homeowners, for the most part, choose a plumbing fixture aesthetically.
Yes.
When I think you should be choosing it and speaking to someone regarding the function, I want to know how that sprays. I want to know how it, you know, exports, right? And I want to know how it's going to last, and I want to know how it's going to build up, how it's made, and all this other stuff, right?
I don't think people consider that at all.
They just care aesthetically.
Yeah, as long as, you know, they're afterwards, after 5 years or whenever, when it's time to change something, or, you know, that's when they're like, okay.
But that's where you guys come in. Like, they should be speaking to you guys going, have you installed a similar one to this? And what is the spray pattern like it? Like, how does it work? Will I be happy with it? But they don't generally have that conversation with you.
No, which is
such a missed opportunity because they should be having conversations with you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not knocking the designers at that, but for the most part, the designers don't know. They just are basing it on aesthetic, put it out there. It
all
matches.
Kitchen faucets I've put in and they're like, what is this? Like, where's the pressure? I'm like, well, if you look at the box, there's this green leaf here. It's a water saver thing. Like, I can't wash my dishes with this. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. You know?
Well, every plumber I know, including myself, that when I ever installed a kitchen faucet, is like, get rid of the friggin' reducer. I'm sorry, pop it out. I don't care.
Yeah.
The purpose of a kitchen sink is to what? It's to use it. I need some force there, right? Yeah, yeah. And I definitely want more force when it's like you go into a spray pattern, right?
Yeah.
You definitely want to, and then also you want a long enough reach, right?
Yeah.
Which brings up another gripe of mine, where it's like only the good plumbers, I think about the underside, the drain side of it, mm-hmm. leaving that little section where the actual hose
can kind of out of the way for sure. There's no obstruction.
Because there's nothing worse than pulling it and then getting that speed bump. Because 100%. It's hitting the pipe,
you never
right?
bring your drain center, of course. Yeah.
It drives me nuts that you're not thinking, because I don't think there's a single client out there that's just asking for a regular standard laundry tub kind of, or laundry sink faucet in a kitchen application where you don't have to pull out, you don't have to pull down.
Just rental units.
Yeah, just rental units. But even rental units, like, I mean, I did one recently, and I was like, what's being offered on the market now is insane. They're offering not bad faucets that have pull downs or pull outs. Yeah. So it's like, they're not crazy expensive, so you might as well throw it in a rental unit, because you're going to make your tenant happy with it. Mm-hmm. They're going to appreciate it, outside of like what you just said. Everyone's so used to that regular standard one,
exactly.
right? For maybe a few more bucks, you get a nicer one that has a pull-out, pull-down.
You get them pretty cheap now. There's so many Amazon faucets, and like even Canadian Tire, like of all places, has like a whole...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild, yeah.
So on the mechanical side, what are you focusing mostly on? What are you getting clients that are asking for? It's still a forced air world, right? Everyone's always asking for that. You getting, I'd love to have the argument about the heat pumps. You getting a lot of clients reaching out to you for the heat pumps?
Not too much.
Okay.
But yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Are you going to see, I know that I was doing a show yesterday and I was talking to Tyler and he was like, his concern is the service and the maintenance of those heat pumps in the next few years. He's worried about that. It's going to be pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
Like he thinks that they're all being sold a package of goods. That sounds kind of nice now, but later on it's just going to be service and maintenance attached to it, which is going to be a headache for the homeowner.
Well, it's like, honestly, like anything now, right? Like nothing lasts like how it did before.
Oh, it's just how it is, man. Like I just don't, it's kind of smart that you get washing machine manufacturers not giving you the rubber hoses anymore. I never liked rubber hoses. When I was always doing an install and I got a washer, I always braided.
For sure.
I was like, braided lines are always the better line to go with. Like, you always heard these horror stories. I never had the horror story, but you always hear that these rubber lines, over time,
I've witnessed it, yeah.
Oh, really,
yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right, it's serious, it, man. And then you got an open valve right there, and if you're not home...
They come home from work, and you know, they come to pull in their garage. This one client, the laundry was right above the garage, and they come in and they open the garage door and it's just water pouring out of their garage, and kind of like the roof's all fallen down already
because it's just water for that whole day. Like it's just constant, right?
For sure. Even a fridge line, like I did recently, this like a little pinhole in the poly lines that people put.
See, I do braided lines for that,
so
too.
So do I, but I service this kind of stuff, right?
I know, but I never understood the poly lines for those things. I know it's convenient. It's easy to run, chase it, but it's such a thing.
They wear out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I don't...
One kink in it, you push the fridge back, and it bends, and that's it, right?
But then also, I'm a fan of the Odie box to put a fridge ice line, supply line.
Yeah, I use them all the time.
Because you got a shutoff valve right there, right? So you don't have to go and shut off the system or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, are there any other little perks that you see that you're doing?
Now I'm doing, so I usually put that box behind the fridge, but I'm also running a separate line to underneath the kitchen sink. So there's a additional shutoff
perfect.
There, so you don't have to pull out the fridge to perfect. Do it quickly or anything, right?
And it's also nice, too. Like, I'm also seeing shutoffs that are for hose valves, you know, bibs and things like that. You can put them underneath the sinks. Kitchen sinks, you can actually, if you manage it properly, design it properly.
Oh,
you can
plenty have of room.
Plenty
nice.
Of room.
Yeah.
And you can still fit your carriages in there. You can still fit your pull-outs for your whatever you need to pull out, right? But, I mean, that's where it's like, you got an open slate. Like, you got a nice... carcass, usually 36-inch carcass, which is big. And I know that sinks are getting deeper and deeper, but you still have a lot of space there that you can, if you manage it properly, it could be set up right. Mm-hmm. Right? So then that's where you guys come in to educate the client, because the client just cares about the cabinetry, they care about the sink.
That's another thing, too, with these deep sinks. People don't want to change the roughing in the wall. It's going to work. I'm like, no, it's not. You know?
Because you were given a certain height, or you were told a certain sink, and all of a sudden you put the rough in for that sink.
Change their mind, and
we're gonna go deeper,
6 inches deeper, whatever it is. Like,
you're breaking drywall.
Yeah,
you have to reconfigure all that at that point.
Exactly.
So back to the commercial. So you're loving the copper, but it's all press.
It's not all press.
No, you still soldering.
I still solder for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's important, like, as if you're coming into the trade, like, obviously learn soldering before. Pressed is obviously no skill involved to that, right? But you, everyone should know how to solder if you're a plumber, for sure. You're not always going to be able to, right?
But it's good to have those skills, right?
Of course.
You might come across a project where you have to take care of something like that.
Yeah, but even like soldering, you know, the drains, like, and it's not water piping, but you got to be able to do that for commercial applications too, with the brass piping and stuff.
Are you getting a lot of clients these days asking for softeners, reverse osmosis,
depending on the area, but more that and filters, and
they're becoming more popular,
yeah. And at the minimum, it's like you're under the kitchen sink filter system for, they got their separate faucet for drinking and stuff.
Yeah. But are those filters clogging up fast these days? Because
depends where you are. I've seen them pretty bad.
Because just the way the water is being treated, right?
Yeah. Especially like up north.
But I guess your clients are being a little more savvy. They're doing the Google, you know, research.
Yeah. Some people don't even know. And then like you go do a shut, you shut their water down. And then when you turn it back on, they've got like brown water coming out of their faucet for like 30 seconds. They're like, what is that? I'm like,
where's that coming from?
Well, it's because the water is not filtered, first of all, but it coats the inside of the water pipe. So when the water's shut down and it's drained out and you fill the system back up,
the pipe, exactly.
You've got all that crap coming out. Yeah.
That's back like 100 years ago. That's what it'd been like, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Where do you think plumbing's going these days, mechanical-wise? We're going, like, I'd love to hear you say that more and more homeowners want to go radiant and they want to go hydronics and they want to go that route, because I think it's a healthier way to heat your home.
For sure.
I know it's a more expensive way to heat, but it's a healthier way to eat, right? Like, it makes sense to me. And then you just got to figure out the AC part of it, which, in my opinion, you just go a small unit. You do a small furnace and take it from the attic, I guess, and take care of that and just run the smaller lines, right? That would make the more, like, that just makes more sense.
Yeah, more efficient, but like you said, more cost involved initially. But, you know, it's not everyone's going to do it. It's not in everybody's budget, but hopefully it leans that way. Just like everything is kind of, you know, press, for example, it's getting cheaper as we go kind of thing. So hopefully it's the same idea with that.
Like, what are we talking about, Johnny? Like, we're twice the price kind of thing if you went. It starts. So all of a sudden you got a line item, you're doing a new build. Instead of spending 50 grand on your HVAC system, you're going to be spending 100 grand on your HVAC system, right?
Yeah.
I know it's a hard pill to swallow, but I just, like, when I've done jobs for clients and I speak to them later or afterwards, you know, the kids don't have nosebleeds, the kids don't have health problems, they're not coughing all the time, the family has fewer, you know, flu seasons.
That's huge. Yeah.
Like, because think about it, you're just moving volumes of air between each room in the entire house, and in the winter months, that house is sealed. And if you're actually not maintaining your ERV or HRV, you're not circulating the air properly in that house. So all of a sudden, it's just basically a petri dish at that point.
Right.
That's why you get sicker. So it's like, do you want many more sick days in your house, or do you want more healthier days in your house?
Right.
That's where that extra cost comes in. But I know it's hard. It's hard because then they can't get the Wolf stove. They can't get this or can't upgrade that or all this other. I get it. It's all money, right?
Yeah, at the end of the day, yeah.
But are you getting a lot of clients, Johnny, that are questioning the dollars? Are they saying that construction is just getting too expensive these days?
Yes.
It's happening, right?
It's happening.
How do you navigate that conversation?
Some people get it and some people don't, you know, like, you got to explain to them, like, the thing is, nobody complains about everything else going up, but when it comes to the construction, you know, the trades and doing these certain things, that's when it's a big deal. But, you know, it's just everything goes up, so, you know, should accept it kind of thing, right?
Did you roll with the punches during the, you know, the COVID years where, you know, a lot of things were going up, but a lot of tradespeople didn't increase their labor rates the same way that everybody was increasing everything else?
Well, I had people, you know, repeat customers call me back, and they're like, the material pricing was like ridiculous. And you try to justify that to them, like, I'm telling them, like, I didn't even increase my labor charge, right? It was just a material increase, and they would not believe in me to the point, like, kind of thing.
But you're showing them, here's my supplier.
Like, go buy a 2x4 right now.
You just look at it.
Yeah.
Like, you know? But it wasn't even the two, like, it's for you guys. It was like the copper, the lengths of copper. And everything. Just valves, just like
everything, like, tripled at that time.
Yeah,
or something.
Even all your material that you needed just to do the job, right?
Yeah,
I can only assume. I don't know, but did all the price of the tools and everything, did that all go up as well too? Like, were you getting?
Yeah. Oh, I remember. I was buying some Milwaukee stuff, and I was getting told that they're so Milwaukee at that time they had to increase their pricing because.
They wanted to make more money?
Because the Canadian dollar or something. I don't know. January 1st at that time, it was like they're going to increase
it
this much.
I just pictured them in a meeting just trying to figure out how can we come up with a reason why we need to justify this increase? Because we really don't have a reason, but let's just justify it.
Right, right.
But that's not the way.
Because our Canadian dollar is so low. That's what I was told.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
So why didn't we have that conversation when the Canadian dollar was so high and we were at par and we didn't see a change in the pricing on things?
Right.
We were still paying the same price.
Right.
So it's like, okay, it doesn't work that way, but it works this way?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
It's capitalism. That's all
for sure.
Everyone was just taking advantage of it.
They're good at it.
I mean, I saw lengths of copper go through the roof. I was just like, this is insane, man. Like, insane. Like, it wasn't just the lumber.
No, it was everything.
You guys were getting hit hard. Yeah. Electricians were getting hit hard.
It was,
the
scarce.
The spool of a 14-2 was absolutely insane. You almost needed to get AOC on it. Like, it was just ridiculous. Like, are you kidding me? I just want one spool of electrical wire.
Yeah.
It was bad.
And when they were in, they were gone.
Yeah.
Everyone was taking them, so it was like a shortage at the same time,
right? It's the first time that I started going to certain big box stores, and they have them all locked up.
Yeah.
It's like you're telling me that someone's actually grabbing a spool, like,
of
14-2, and they're putting it underneath their jacket and they're walking out of here.
Plumbing supply, where they lock up all their mixing valves and all that kind of stuff now, like Home Depot and stuff.
Really?
And if I go, like, if I'm doing work in the off hours and the supplier's not open, if I go to Home Depot, like, all the mixing valves for the hot water tanks, those are all locked up with a bunch of other stuff, too. Yeah.
So you're a one man shop? No.
No, I got one guy working for me right now.
Younger guy?
And I sub some work as well. Yeah.
Okay. And he's a younger guy?
Young guy, yeah. Okay. 21.
How'd you find him?
I did work at his house, and he worked for another contractor. I mean, he wasn't happy there. Kept in touch with him over like 6 months. And then he asked me if I want to take him on. And yeah, so I did.
So he's going through the apprenticeship hours now? All right. And he's doing well? How long has he been with you?
He's only been with me since November.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's great, yeah. No complaints at all. He's good. He's learning.
So you kind of lucked out.
He came into it with experience.
Yeah.
And he's a hard worker. He doesn't complain about anything. You know, like he's good. He wants to learn. He's eager to learn, and that's really noticeable. Like, especially with, you know, kids now, this generation, they don't, you know, they
don't. You guys have to deal with it. I don't have to deal with it. Like, I hear it.
Yeah.
It's challenging. Yeah. You're running a business, and then also you're educating. You're teaching.
Yes.
And then you're trying, you lucked out finding that one guy.
I did, yeah.
I mean, if you had to go through the whole Indeed route and try to find employees, it was going to be more challenging.
I'm hearing it from other guys and contractors I deal with on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's impossible to find guys. I don't know. I got lucky, so I'm not complaining. But
is it impossible to find the guys, or is it impossible to keep the guys? Because they feel
it's easy to find somebody.
Yeah.
Right. But
whether they fit your business.
Exactly.
And, or they fit the industry.
Right.
Those are two different things, right?
Yes.
But a lot of these younger guys think that this industry is just glamour. It's just everything's all just Instagram glamour. Everything's just like a rock star plumber, rock star mechanical guy. And all of a sudden you're like, you can do this, you can do that. You're just like, it's all perfect. It's all glitz and glam. And I'm like, it's not. You're going to be in the shit, man. You're going to there's going to be some
there's
bad
hard work,
days.
For sure.
Cold days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really awkward positions on trying to do your service or what you have to do. Like, it's just going to be a challenge, man. Mm-hmm. And you just got to accept it as just part of it. Either step up to it or don't. One or the other, right?
Yeah, I know. It's a really physical world. You know, we do some back-breaking stuff sometimes.
And yeah.
It's just a part of the job, right? It's got to get done.
I like that you brought that up because it's like, I see a lot of you younger guys, and I was guilty of that too, right? You just think that you're super men and women, right? And you think that you're physically strong and I can handle this and I can do it over and over. But as a specific trade, when you're constantly doing the same movement over and over,
yes,
you are, not realizing it, damaging parts of your body.
For sure.
And you need to be aware of that. You just need to be conscious of it, that it might be causing long-term damage down the road.
Yep.
And that's the reason why when I was growing up, I saw my dad and other older trades, they move a little bit slower. They walk a little bit differently. It's because their bodies have been beaten up, right? Are you guys, I'm assuming you younger guys, are conscious of this, man?
More conscious now.
Yeah,
In my early 20s, yeah. I wasn't. Like, I felt invincible. Now I'm, like, starting to feel stuff, you know? And now I'm, like, even, like, now I will not get on the ground unless I have, like, my knee pad set up and stuff like that because I feel it. And I never did before because it didn't bother me. I'd be on my knees doing rough-ins and concrete all day long. I'd be fine. No way I can do that now. No.
Man, speaking about a knee pad, the other day I was just doing some work around the house, and then I went down on my knees, and I had the knee pads in the pants already, and then I was feeling something, like it was digging, digging in there, but it was sharp, right? And I was like, man, something's in there. I had to take out the knee pad out. It's a small piece of glass, man. Uh-huh. Tiny, tiny piece of glass was just inside the actual knee pad, and it was just digging right into my knee. And I was like, this is crazy, man. I'm not going to continue this. I took it out, and it was perfectly fine. But, you know, I agree with you, man. Knee pads, all. There's times where I'm, like, even cleaning the house, and I got my work pants on it. Because, like, you're just on your knees cleaning it. I'm like, this is actually good cleaning work wear. Yeah, you know, that's 100%. What you need, right? It just, it makes it safe. Knees are important.
Yeah.
Feet. Footwear.
Yeah, your eyes and
your ears. Eyes, hearing.
Yeah, like I had
shoulders.
Had an accident as an apprentice. I don't know what job we were on, but we were grinding all the time. And then it just so happened that one of the guys at this place we were working at, he had that, that it's like where your ear rings constantly. It doesn't go away.
Tendonitis, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was from him working in a factory without earplugs for like forever, right? And he's like, this will basically cause the same thing, this high, you know, volume, you know. So now I'm like super conscious of that.
That's
kind
a
of
critical
stuff.
One, man. Yeah, yeah. I tell guys, bare minimum, have the foam inserts. Bare minimum. Yeah. Ideally, get the bigger, bulkier ones.
Right.
Because they literally will protect your ears, man.
Yeah.
And you should be wearing them as the first day you're on a job site. You 100%. Should be wearing them. I don't care if you don't look cool or whatever it is. Just pretend that you're wearing Beats or something like that.
Yep.
Simple as that. But those things are going to save your hearing, because later on in your ears, you are going to have that ringing, that constant ringing. Yep. When there's silence in your life, you're going to hear that constant ringing.
Yeah.
Which is going to be so irritating for you, man.
Yeah. And I swear my hearing's affected, because that wasn't a part of my protocol in my early year. Like, you know.
And you're noticing it right now at your age?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife, she'll say, she's talking to me, and I'm like, what? She's like, are you deaf? I can't hear you.
Maybe she uses kind of construction terms or something like that, then you might hear it or something like
maybe.
That. Mix in a word or two or something like that. Wrench or hammer, yeah, pipe.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I heard you. I understand what you said.
Slope?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to slope the cake a little bit?
Yeah.
No, okay. All right. I can do that. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there is a toll, and I think you think part of that attributes to the kids not wanting to get into the industry because they don't want to beat their bodies up. They want something.
100%.
It has to be, right?
100%. Like, okay, it's not, there's, like I said, there's days where you're going to have those hard days, but like a majority of the time, like, you know, it's, they don't even want to do that part, let alone like the hard stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to get, how do you draw someone in for that kind of thing? Because the trades, there's good money to be made and everything, but I mean, sometimes that's not enough, like, to, you know, get someone on the road to it.
Good money is not enough. Like, no debt and good money and able to buy a car and a house within the next decade of your life.
For sure. Yeah.
These aren't good things on this grocery list. I don't understand. Like, the kids are not seeing this as potential.
I know. It's not for everybody, but still, like, they're, I don't know, I find that, like, I don't know, as we go on, it's, like, less and less guys that are, you know, willing to do it, even though it's a great industry. I think, actually, it's getting easier too now with everything, with all the new tools and everything, right? So we'll see.
It is probably getting easier, safer.
Safer for sure.
But I guess they still are balancing the entrepreneur spirit.
Right.
I think that they're too eager and hungry to become you, the business owner, too soon.
Right.
I think they need a few
bumps and
bruises.
They don't
want
to earn their stripes.
Yeah.
You know, like even when I started as an apprentice, like I didn't touch stuff for like a while. It was just like, you know, you're grabbing coffee, you're making sure the material's there, you're handing, you know.
But you were absorbing the knowledge on the site.
Yes.
Even though you weren't in it and doing the work,
yes,
you were at least aware of the steps involved because you're watching.
Yeah, the awareness is what gets you when you level up now where you're allowed to do stuff.
Yeah.
Now you've got to already be kind of ready to do it versus being told kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just.
But I just feel that they're too eager to get right to the top of the food chain, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, I've had guys complain to me, like, you know, I don't want to break the concrete. I want to, that's not a plumber's job. I want to lay the pipe. I'm not breaking the concrete.
It is a plumber's job.
I know.
Digging a trench is a plumber's job.
I know.
It's all part of it, yeah.
You know, and sometimes you're on a big job, you're doing that, like, maybe all week.
Yeah.
Right? Before you can even start the plumbing underground. So
removing the dead squirrel out of the vent stack is the plumber's job.
For sure.
It's like whatever you find in the mechanical duct work, whatever the kids threw down there, that's the mechanical's job. It's just, that's part of your job. It's part of your scope. Who are you going to call? You're going to call the electrician to come in? You're going to call the framer to come in?
Yeah.
No, it's part of your trade. That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
But they don't want, I knew you're talking about, they don't want, they want to get to the top of the mountain.
And they get frustrated, you know, why can't I do this? I'm like, man, like, you can't dive right into it. You got to, like, get a grasp of things, kind of see what's going on. Like, you know, just because you're not doing it doesn't mean you're not learning.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, when I started out, I was asking myself, why is he taking this fitting? Like, why am I giving this? And but at the, and then you get to the point where you're giving him stuff before he even asks you because you know what's next.
Yep.
And then the step after that, okay, you can try it by yourself now, right? Yep. So
there's a whole fly on the wall part of this industry that you need to just sit back. Not necessarily, you know, just, you know, like, and ask all these questions of the people that are working. There's a whole part of it that you just need to figure out what the on-site etiquette is all about, how the procedures are all unfolded. Like, there's systems in place on how you guys have set up. Like, it's always, I'm always fascinated about how I see a van set up, how I see a business set up, how I see how, I always love being on site first and last because I get to see how you guys roll in, how you guys roll out. Right. And you'll see if you pay attention to this, there's patterns.
There's
ways on people have figured out how to be efficient doing those things. Mm-hmm. And I think those are lessons that are quietly learned. You need to sit back and just pay attention to how so-called gypsies come in and just start the process. And it's always the best to experience like the rough, you know, when you guys first show up, clean slate, you know, just got timber to deal with.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to run this?
Yeah.
How am I going to roll this all out, right? And that takes the skill set. And I don't think that if you just run up the mountain, you won't get that information.
Yeah, that's the next step after you know what you're doing to design what you're going to do.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then eventually it'd be given to you. Because if you're showing the way that you're showing the initiative and you want to learn, in between getting the coffees, in between sweeping things up, in between cleaning the van, cleaning things, like just always staying tidy, in between all that stuff, you'll eventually be given the opportunity from someone that's senior of you and they'll go, listen, you want to map this one out? You want to take care of this one?
For sure.
You take care of this one. You run it out. Here's a red marker.
That's right.
You go. You tell me where you want to run this one. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're given the opportunity. Now, you ain't going to do it as fast as the person that's asking you to do it.
Right.
But one day you will. That's the beauty of the trades,
yeah.
Right? That eventually happens.
Just repetition,
that way.
Right? Yeah. The more you do it, the better you get.
It's the ones that it's the young ones that look at this industry and this trade. It's just a job, and I just come in and I'm just running a pipe.
Those guys will never last.
Yeah, like if you think it's just anything, then you don't understand the opportunities that are attached to this. You just don't get it,
right?
Which you maybe
for
it's
me
not for
when
you.
You're looking for someone, you're rolling the dice. Like if someone's available and they're like, you know, let's say licensed or whatever, like good guys aren't, they're taken. They're not waiting to get hired. You know what I mean? So it's like you got to sort through all that.
But there is a smaller pool to select from, right?
Right.
You're not like we're getting fewer and fewer people coming into the industry, right?
Right.
So it's hard to it's challenging to get more kids interested in being a part of this, right?
I don't know what's not like you said, you start out, you make money, you don't have debt,
the math isn't selling them. Like if you explain the math to them, the financial math, they don't get how valuable that is. Like you can go out and do your whole career and choose a different industry and go to education and spend six figures on your education, carry that debt, which is not, you know, forgiven. You have to pay it eventually. It doesn't matter if you're 60 years old. You still have to pay. It's going to be digging away at your heels, right? But then like the whole idea when you talk to these young kids that are starting out and they're hungry and they're go-getters, they're driving maybe not necessarily a brand spanking new truck, but they're driving a relatively good new vehicle-ish. Yeah. Right. And that's what they're rolling around in. And then their next goal is I got to look at a house.
Right.
I got to figure out semi-detached, whatever, condo, something like that.
Yeah.
And you're in your 20s having these conversations when the majority of people in this country, they're in their 30s and they're just saying, I'm not going to be able to afford it.
The average age now is 36 years old to buy a house. Isn't that wild?
And a lot of them are not even choosing a car. They just think that they're going to live in the core and they'll either Uber it or they'll just like bicycle it or just public transit.
Even then, I have a friend that does like you can rent a car for a day.
You do all that. Zip cars or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah.
But that makes no sense, man. Like, weren't you when you were 16? Weren't you hungry? I'm going to get my license.
That was the
first
thing I wanted.
I need my license.
Driving school, license, or G2 right away.
Like, but today's generation is not interested in that.
No, I know kids that don't even have their license. They're like 19
years old. But you need that to be a trade. Like if you want to get the trades, I mean, if you got a system of how to get onto public transit and get to the job site,
I did it. I started out. That's how I did it.
Through public transit?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was getting to work like on sites. I was like on the bus at like 4:30 in the morning. I was going everywhere. I didn't have a car yet. Yeah, that's how I started out.
Just bring a tool bag or something? Just like
minor at the time, no, I'd leave my tools in the truck.
Okay.
And then I would just like get to the site, or I would like meet my foreman at the time, and he would, you know, go. I'd just get to the shop or go directly to the site, whatever was easier. And
But the kids nowadays have to realize that if you're going to get into construction, it's not always in the same place. It moves around because you're building.
It's possible. It just depends if you want to do it. Like I had a guy working with me. He would have to go through multiple, like two municipalities to be able to get to the site. Like he lived at like, actually we were doing the Cineplex in Mississauga. He went from Scarlett and Eglinton all the way to like Oakville border, Winston Churchill.
Whoa.
Every single day.
How long did that take him?
2.5 hours.
Each way?
Each way, yeah.
5 hours he's spending to get to the job site.
But he did it. He didn't have a car. And he did it. So it goes to show if you need to do, if you value your job.
You have to do
it. You're going
to
do it no matter what.
Yeah, you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, the transit system isn't the greatest, but at least there's a way that you can get.
He was an older, not an older guy. He was like, he's a man. He's not a kid. You know what I mean? So he's got bills. Someone who lives at home with their parents might not necessarily have the same, drive.
But they just dismiss it. Like, I'm not going to achieve that, so I'm not even going to bother trying it then. So what's the point of that? That makes no sense, man.
Yeah.
When you're missing a whole opportunity where you could be making six figures in your first year of working in the trades. If you get if you're hungry enough, you get the right ideas, and you meet the right people, you can get to those numbers.
For sure.
Then from there, you can start figuring out what you want to do. Whether you want to run your own business, you want to partner with somebody, you want to grow from that point, you want to become a teacher, something like that. Whatever, it can be educated, right?
Yeah, so many options.
I'm seeing a lot more trades. Like I think the next show that we're doing is with Aaron from Expert Plumbing, and he's actually setting up a school now in his workshop, and he's planning on doing that kind of stuff. And I'm like,
he's doing it now. He's got like every Friday
which I totally respect. And it's amazing because he sees that he's just giving opportunity. He's seeing that the
huge
kids
value.
The kids need this. Nobody else is offering this, so he has to set this up so if he can do it. And he's in one part of the the city, right? So he's further out in Hamilton area. But it's like those are the things, those are the companies that you need to find. But I guess as a young potential tradesperson coming into the industry, just scour the web and scour social media and listen to podcasts. And
exactly.
Like the information's out there. You just got to take the time.
You got to look for it.
Yeah, find
it. It's there.
Drive around. Well, if you're not driving, take the bus or whatever. But there's job sites everywhere. And don't be nervous to walk on the job site. Have your boots on. At least have a lid with you.
I remember when I got my first job, I was always told, don't like apply, go in and see the person face to face.
It'll go a lot further.
For sure.
It'll go a lot further.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever hired anybody off of a resume. I always hired people when I met them and I spoke with them.
Yeah.
And I just talked. I go, let's walk around the job site. Let's just have a conversation, walk and talk it. And if you get a good vibe from that person, I was like, okay, come back tomorrow. Let's get going. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. I think people put too much emphasis on having this piece of paper that says that you have the skill set to do this. And I'm like, in construction, I don't think it works that way.
Right.
I think you need to show that you're hungry enough to want to do it. And then I'm going to give you the opportunity. And then you show me if you're hungry to do it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Your true colors always come through. You can, some people fake it for as long as they can, right?
But I mean, I'm hearing more of those faking stories, and I'm like, how do these guys just have the balls to do this where they just kind of go in and lie?
I think they think that as soon as they get their foot in the door, it's just like, okay, I'm in now. But it's like, no, you can get out too.
you could be asked to get out, right?
Yeah,
you could be told to get out.
Right.
There's different ways. Like, Johnny, are you thinking about expanding a lot in the next little while? So that means basically you're going to go down the employee search route, which is going to be challenging and frustrating for you as a business owner, because obviously you ain't going to get all perfect apples at that time.
No.
So you're going to have to deal with ups and downs and probably lost revenue because you're going to have to fix certain things weren't done correctly. You're anticipating all that, or you think it's all going to be
I go into it optimistic, but I'm also going to accept whatever comes, right? It's just a part of it. You want valuable, you want good quality things. You got to look for it, vet everything, and then, make sure you're on the right path. So,
but I guess it's the one thing, because I have a lot of respect for you guys in this industry where you guys are not afraid to speak to each other as business owners. right? You're not looking at each other as competition. Not and when I talk about that, I talk about the top three. I talk about the mechanical, the plumbing, and the electrical trades, right? Yeah. You guys are not afraid about that. But the one thing you guys can't do, it's the employee pool.
Right.
You guys are all having the exact same problem.
Yes.
Finding people, hanging on to people. You get the occasional dick out there that's trying to poach. Right. You know what I mean? So you find a good guy or a good girl, and all of a sudden they'll try to poach that person from you, which is a different kind of person, different kind of right. business owner, which you don't want to deal with. It's shadiness at that level. But that's the one thing that you guys can't do is, like, you guys are all stuck in this search for employees. Like, you guys would, everybody I've spoken to, I think, would grow if the kids were there. Expand their businesses right away if the kids were there to expand the business.
Right. Well, you got to deal with not only the kids, now with the ratios, right, too. You got to find licensed guys equivalent to your apprentices you bring on.
Which is another fiasco, right?
I know.
Like, they should bring it back to the way it was, right? Because that's how it grew then, no?
Right.
So how do you deal with that? I guess you could speak to politicians, but they don't know anything about construction.
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Their hard hat's always clean. The shovel's always clean. The suit's like... I don't understand. You know what? Why do they show up on job sites with suits to do some like ribbon ceremony bullshit thing? I don't get that, man. I have a little bit of respect and like show up with like they throw on the vest on, eh? Yeah. That vest that still has the creases on it. I'm like, man, you know what? If you've done this so many times and you really care about this industry, we're at CMPX, so everyone's like, doesn't matter. But if you really respect this industry, then you know what? Walk into the bar properly. And have a little bit of respect for the people that are actually providing a living for their family and doing a service, right? Like, I laugh when I see those photos and the creased safety vest. I laugh at that shit. I'm like,
right out of the box.
Yeah, you're just like that assistant. Here you go, sir. Here you go, ma'am. Here you go. And I'm like, this is just a joke, man. Yeah. Like, I just, unfortunately, yesterday here, you know, Ford was here and he was doing the ribbon. And I was just like, this is ridiculous, man. There's no respect, not from the industry, right? Yeah. But I get it. He's getting respect from the unions. He's getting respect from other big players. But then again, they're also suits with folded up safety vests.
Exactly.
Which is not, you're not speaking our language at that point, right? No. I'm sorry, but you're not speaking the language. And I think you should be speaking the language. I think you should have a lot more respect for the people that are providing such valuable skill set for this country. Every country's built that. You get rid of tradespeople, you get rid of, like, the country dies.
For sure.
Simple as that, right? So why don't we just see everybody on the same level playing field here? So, I mean, next ribbon cutting is like show up in workwear, show up in boots, show up in unfolded.
Still going to have the creases, but.
No creases, man. Iron that shit out before or wash it or use it, get it dirty or something like that, man. I don't fucking know, but it's hard for me to hand that. I can respect it. You guys are like in a heartbeat. I could talk to somebody in trades like in 2 seconds and know that you guys are hardworking individuals, right? So I have respect for that. But a guy in a suit, I have a hard time with it, man. Unless it's someone that I know, right? You shake their hand and you know that they're coming and they're just... Because tradespeople clean up well as well,
for sure,
too, right?
100%.
That's the thing about it. But it's just like the politicians are dictating how we can grow our business.
Right.
When they shouldn't be.
No, not at all.
We should be dictating how we're going to grow our business. I keep saying that. You want to grow this country? Ask the tradespeople. They'll tell you exactly how to grow this country.
They're limiting you for sure.
100%, yeah. Right?
I mean, I guess that from their perspective, you're not going to have enough teachers for people learning or whatever, but it's not like that. It's not like they got it all wrong.
Well, all the trade teachers that I've spoken to, and I think I'm close to getting some teachers from Conestoga get onto the show as well, too. They're in the same pickle, man. Like they're seeing the kids that are coming out and also the fall off rate. Like, you know, we had Robert Schrader recently from Central Tech and he was just telling me about the amount of kids that drop out.
Is that right?
And I'm like, that's heart-wrenching to hear that, because there's got to be something going on in that kid's life. It could be a variety of reasons, whatever. It could be the personal situation, it could be what have you, whatever it is. But every time that one drops off, that's like lost, man. That's just not one, that's several at that point, right? Yeah. And I feel bad, because all the government really cares about is just pointing the finger at how many people are getting in. And I think that, forget about that finger, I want to see you guys pointing a finger at how many people are staying in.
Right.
I want to know who's that's in their matters. Second, yeah. Third, who's the one that's looking for new employment, new opportunities, who's the one that maybe wants to get into a different sector, who's the one that also is going to bring more kids for themselves, right? Like, there's nothing to stop a 21, 22-year-old to speak to their circle of friends and go, listen, I got two buddies I want to come in. you know, unfortunately, they want to be electricians, but I want them to come in, right? Yeah. But it doesn't matter, man. Trades is still a trade. It's what it's value, right? But that's, I think we are responsible for building the industry ourselves.
100%.
Not the politicians. I'm sorry to say, man. Because they're
completely clueless. We know best anyway.
Clueless.
Right?
Yeah.
They have no idea.
Oh, that's it. Anything else you want to share before we get close to wrapping it up?
Nothing on the top of my head.
No, nothing. How's the year looking for you so far? Good?
Oh, it's really busy.
Busy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just dealing with the clients.
I got to go to work after this.
Really? You going right to the job?
Not right away.
No, but you're gonna walk the floor a bit?
For sure, yeah.
And check it out. So, yeah, no, it's all good. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah,
and
thanks for having me.
Doll booth here. Yes. And Thomas has been great to set this up. And I always like having the shows and shooting the shit on the show and talking it. So it's like, yeah, I'm glad that they did this and gave us a little bit of square footage here to do it. So,
for sure.
And it's good to see you again, man.
Too.
And thank you so much for being on the show there. And then come back anytime. If you want to bring back your guy and we'll do another show and we'll talk about your business more.
He's on his way here.
Oh, is he coming here too as well? First time as well?
Yeah.
Man, I can't believe this is like.
I know.
But you knew about it, right?
Yeah, I did.
You just never had an opportunity.
I've been busy. I was either working or something like
It's a good show. Just do the zigzag, go back and forth, and then just talk to all the brands and see what's going on, man.
Awesome.
Okay, Brent. What's the information again? Share it again.
It's Instagram is Brento Plumbing Inc. And my website's brentoplumbing.ca.
And then the email.
John@brentoplumbing.co.
That's it, man. So, guys, everybody check them out. Check them out online and reach out to them. If you got a job going on, whatever, check them out. And then enjoy the show, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny. I really appreciate it, man.
All right.
Okay, we're out of here.